join us. I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, are familiar with Rabbi Leibowitz. He is the head of Smicha in the Smicha program, and he's a Rav of the shul. But for my purposes, he's a Magachir on many, many online platforms that Baruch Hashem I have an opportunity to take advantage of. So he's certainly a Rebbe to me and to much of Klal Yisrael, tremendous Marbis Torah. And one of the areas that he is well known in is Halacha. And when he and I spoke before the beginning of the semester, I was explaining to him my concern that people your age are being thrust into the world and really are not being prepared in the educational system to know basically how to act as an Orthodox Jew, putting aside everything else in terms of Hashkafa, which we'll get to in another class, and all the other areas that we're touching throughout this course. So Rabbi Leibowitz agreed to spend some time with us just giving us an outline and a perspective on how we should deal with that dilemma.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be together with you, and I appreciate the opportunity first of all, I appreciate this entire course. I think it's just a wonderful thing, and there's no better person to teach it than Mr. Moshe Bain, who represents the very best of what a person can accomplish when they're very dedicated to Avodas Hashem, to Avodas HaKlal, and to maximizing every moment of every single day. So you should all, as I'm sure you already do, you should all appreciate that. But my assignment today, as was just alluded to, was that to talk about how to prepare oneself to be able to handle living as a Jew, living day in and day out, and just to know what to do, how to behave properly. Meaning, you could learn all the Iyun Shiurim on Shor Shenogah Chesapara, and you're still not going to know what bracha to make on Crispix. So how exactly does a person? Well, I guess that's a bad example, bracha on Crispix, because the yeshiva is actually learning Ketzan Mevarchin this year. But there are still a lot of areas of halacha that you may never get to. So by way of introduction to this presentation, I certainly am interested in taking questions throughout the course of the presentation. But by way of introduction, the premise of this presentation is that you're already thinking about the future now. And that is fundamentally a very good thing. Meaning, when a person goes straight from yeshiva into what they call the real world, or what we will call the business world, or the pressures of long-term life, without any preparation and without any thought in advance, so you can be taken totally by surprise. It will totally throw you for a loop, and it will be very difficult to adjust. It may be difficult to adjust anyway, but it's much, much easier when you speak to people who've been out there, who've gone through this, and you already plan out in advance what you're going to do, and you chart out how you're going to be successful. I have many Talmidim that have come into this office where I'm sitting right now in yeshiva on the sixth floor in Gluck before leaving yeshiva and just to talk through the next step as they're about to begin their jobs, as they're about to begin graduate school. What's a plan for success and being able to succeed as what we would call a balabas, as a person who earns a living and who spends the majority of their day in that effort. So I think it's really, really fantastic that we're working on this already now. I could tell you that when I give chasm classes to young men who are getting ready to get married, one of the more common requests that they have is after we finish, they say, "Wait, that's it? Just Hilchas Nida and like some Shalom Bayis? How do I put on a talis?" You know, like there are certain like basics. Like no one ever taught me, you know, when to say the bracha and how to do an atifa of a talis. Where do I put my mezuzahs? What do I do on Shabbos in the kitchen? How do I know? Meaning people are always a little bit stunned that there's not some sort of preparation course of like how to have your own house and make sure that house runs al pi halacha. So I guess part of what we'll talk about is to just sort of make sure that we're more prepared prepared. Maybe it should be part of Chasam classes. I have a cousin, Rav Leibel Katz, Zichrono Levracha. He died of COVID. He was a big Talmud Chacham in Borough Park, and he wrote a sefer for Chasanim called Ohel Aryeh. And it was like the classic sefer that people would learn before they got married. And it was on Hilchos Nida u'Mezuzah. And it always struck me as strange, like Hilchos Nida and Mezuzah, what is Mezuzah? And his logic was that everyone's moving into their first apartments, so they're going to need to know some basics of Mezuzah. And one could argue it should be more expansive than that. It's not only Nida and Mezuzah that are going to be important to know. The importance of learning Halacha cannot possibly be overstated. Aside from the fact that it is the Iker goal of Limud HaTorah, as Moreinu Agon Rav Shechter Shlita has pointed out many times, that the goal of Talmud Torah should be, in terms of what we look to draw out of the learning, is La'asuke Shmaitza Alibud HaChusa, is to be able to draw halachic conclusions from our learning, to have the sense of clarity and the sense of understanding of the sugya, to be able to be comfortable after learning a sugya saying, I now know what the halacha is. But there are also countless mamari chazal about the importance of learning halacha. Eilu lakorosh baruch hu ba'olamo el dalet amos shel halacha bilvad. Right, Hashem's place in this world is in the four amos of halacha. Dvar Hashem zo halacha. The Dvar Hashem is a reference to halacha. Kol hashona halachos b'chol yom muftach lusha ben olam haba. That someone who learns a couple of halachos each and every day is guaranteed to be a ben olam haba. And in many ways you'll find, or I find at least, that being a good balabas, being someone who's a really dedicated, serious balabas, is in many ways harder than being a rabbi. You know, when you're a rabbi, your job is to, you know, involves largely learning, so and teaching. So you have to be involved in Torah all the time. But you're going to have so many other demands on your time. Work will take up the bulk of your time. Family obligations, even in the best of times, children are needy and require a lot of time, and certainly you want to be able to do that, to spend a lot of time with your children and spend time with your wife and working on your relationship. Being a community person means being involved in community organizations. It means being involved in your local shul, in your kids' yeshivas, and things like that. Let alone if you want to be involved on a more national level in communal organizations. And that also takes a lot of time. And then, of course, there has to be learning. That has to be a major part of the schedule. And all this with the pressure to earn a good amount of money. So what I'd like to present to you is basically a four-part presentation. Number one, some suggestions about how to focus your Torah learning now to better prepare you for the future. Number two will be what to learn when you leave yeshiva, how to make certain adjustments as you leave yeshiva, which, by the way, does not have to be the second you graduate. You're welcome to stay. Our Beis Medrash is very active and is full of people that are postgraduate, that are in the Smicha program or in the Chaver program, and it's a 1 or 2 year investment in your learning and your development in learning could pay tremendous dividends for many, many decades to come. Third thing I want to talk about is just more broadly putting yourself in the right context to be able to know what to do and to be able to make sure that you continue to be a growing person. And then the fourth and final thing, to talk a little bit about proper attitude toward our growth and toward our learning in order to make sure that it's sustainable. Actually, and then after that, maybe we'll just talk a little bit about some basic svarim that are important to have around the house. So it's not too ambitious for the next 45 minutes or so to talk about those topics. Let's give it a shot. So let's start with, and maybe I'll stop after each section to take questions if there are any. So let's start with what to learn now. So I had a Rebbe in Kerem Biavne, one of the Rebbeim, Rav Stav, who used to make a joke. He used to say that that the thing about yeshiva, the yeshiva program in learning, and what they tell you to do in terms of learning, he said, is that any other school you go to, let's say you want to be a doctor, so you go to medical school for 4 years, they tell you exactly which books to read and to study and to know, and after 4 years of doing exactly what they tell you, you pass your exams and you're a doctor. If you want to be a lawyer, you go to school for 3 years, you study exactly the books they tell you to study, exactly how they tell you to study them, and at the end of 3 years, you're a lawyer. You go to yeshiva, and you want to be a Talmud Chacham, and you study exactly the books they tell you to study, exactly how they tell you to study them, and after 5 years, you're an Am Haaretz. That was his critique of the yeshiva system. And I understand where he was coming from. I mean, he was coming from the idea that, learning, Gemara Bi'iyun, in a certain sense, develops the mind and develops the skill set. But if that's all that you do, and you don't expand anything beyond that, at the end of the day, you're likely not going to know very much. So it is important also to become a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham means that you know a lot of actual Torah. Having said that, the very basis and foundation of everything that you do right now should be the regular yeshiva siddurim. If you're in a high level shiur in the morning, and your rebbe is focusing on a few sugyas, over the course of a semester, that is such a valuable experience and such a valuable way to develop your mind as a Talmud Chacham, and it will affect the way that you analyze and that you appreciate Talmud Torah in general for the rest of your life. So nothing I say, leaving aside of Stav's joke, nothing I say should minimize the value of that, meaning that has to be the core. I'm not suggesting you cut any time out of morning Seder to do anything else. And it's important to get used to the idea of learning a 3-hour Seder. When you're working, there's going to be something called Sunday morning. Depending on where you send your kids to school, they may all be in school on Sunday morning. Why is it that our Bate Medrash are not full of people on Sundays when people have so much extra time? A lot of times people fall out of the habit of knowing even how to learn with the Chavrusa for several hours. Make sure that you use that time, you get comfortable with that, and you get used to that. You get used to that idea of learning serious siddurim. But equally important is to make sure that you learn how to have a 5-minute Seder and a 10-minute Seder. And you have plenty of those pockets of time now as well. In between classes, you may have a 15-minute break in between classes. So what are you going to do? Well, what am I going to do in 15 minutes? You can't accomplish anything in 15 minutes. You'd be shocked how much you can accomplish. About 12 years ago, a number of my Talmidim who were in college at the time came over to me and they said, we feel like we have like this 10-15-minute time slot after we finish shiur, before we have to go to our college classes, and we feel like there are so many areas of halacha that we just don't know anything about that we probably should. So maybe you can give, if not every day, every other day, a shiur in halacha for 10 minutes on some, on a different topic each and every day. And I'm like, a 10-minute halacha shiur? That's ridiculous. Who ever taught a halacha shiur, and whoever gained anything from a halacha shiur that's taught in 10 minutes? What do you mean, a 10-minute halacha? Who ever heard of such a thing? And the guy said, come on, just give it a try. So we did. We gave it a try. And sure enough, I can tell you from my learning, that 10-minute halacha shiur, which is still going years later, took a little break for Elul this year, but it's still going many years later. We have over 1,100 shiurim and many svarim printed based on that 10-minute halacha shiur. You could do a lot. You could do a lot in 10 minutes of time. There's a lot that could be accomplished, and you'll find very often as you're going through life that that those are the time frames that will really that will really become available. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman often tells the story how he told one of the better bachrim in yeshiva once that they should, when they went out to work, that they should be makbid to learn a couple of mishnayos a day. and or maybe a parak of Mishnayos a day, something like that. And years later, the fellow came back to Rabbi Reisman and he said, you know, when you gave me that advice, I was insulted. I'm one of the best bachurim in yeshiva, and he told me that I should learn a few Mishnayos a day. And he said, I didn't realize how hard it would be to do even that, to do just that. That there are days, if you're an accountant, there are days that it's busy season, and that you're working, or in any industry, that you have their own busy seasons, and you're working crazy hours, and to chop and to grab those 10 minutes, those 15 minutes, it's critical. I would tell you that when you're learning halacha right now, not only should you be learning, again, your regular siddurim, and not only should you get used to learning in 5 and 10 minute increments as well, but when you're learning halacha, write things down. Not necessarily in great detail, but put things in some sort of searchable document on your computer. You hear a new halacha you didn't know before, have some organization, have some way of organizing the information where you could just put it in somewhere, and then you have those notes to go back to where you remember, oh, I heard Rabbi Sablowski said this, Rav Shapter said that, I never heard of that before, a new hanhaga, a new hakpada, an halacha, something to be careful about, something I was unaware of. You probably have already learned most of what you need to know and have forgotten it already. There's so much information that we are being given that we just don't work hard enough to try to retain and have some record of that information, if not in our brain constantly, but at least to have it in some sort of searchable format where we'd be able to draw on it. I would also strongly recommend, as far as the do nows, is to learn how to learn halacha. Because we are so invested in learning Gemara B'Iyun, a lot of times guys just never learned how to learn halacha, how to go through a sugya in Gemara, and what a Tor Beis Yosef looks like, and what the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim look like. Just learn how to develop something in halacha. The best way to do that, and I know I sound like I'm being a little bit... I'm a little biased in this regard, but the best way to do that is to spend at least a year after college going to a halacha shir. Go to one of the smicha shirim, even if you're not going to be in smicha, and just learn how to learn halacha. If you're able to do that for a year, it will open up your eyes to new ways of learning. It will be difficult, it will be challenging, it will be a huge adjustment from the way you're used to learning. It will be extremely, extremely worth it. Now, the areas of halacha that most often come up, as far as I see, in terms of running a household, are first of all Hilchos Shabbos, particularly Bishul, Borer, and Muktzah. Muktzah, I think, very important. Rav Eliyada Golvich just spoke about Smichas Chaver. There was a Smichas Chaver semester on each of those things, on each of those areas of Hilchos Shabbos, and it was extremely important for the people that participated. I think Hilchos Yom Tov is a very important area of halacha. All of the questions that come in about sukkah and something happens to your sukkah, does it passel the sukkah, does it not passel the sukkah, the dalamin and the lulav, that's also an important area of halacha, that if you're going to be having a halacha seder right now, these are good things to do, these are good things to learn. Hilchos Tefillah, what happens if you're late to davening, things of that nature. Hilchos Mezuzah is a good idea also, although that one could argue that if you have a local Rav who could tell you where to put your mezuzahs and you have someone reliable from whom to buy your mezuzahs, that's, it usually won't come up like, on the spot where you'll need to know Hilchos Mezuzah. There was a group here last week from Chicago that came with the Rosh Kol, Rabbi Brand, to get chizuk right before Rosh Hashanah. So they asked Rav Shechter if there's anything that they should be doing in preparation for the Yom Noraim, some sort of enhancement of their Shemiras HaMitzvos. And it was interesting to me. The first thing he said is get your mezuzahs checked. He said there are so many pasul mezuzahs out there. The way most Jews buy mezuzahs, they go into their local Judaica store and they say, I'd like a mezuzah. How much does it cost? And the lady behind the counter says, either $80, $100, or $120. And the guy says, oh, I'm an average Jew, so I'll take the $100 ones. And that's it. And that's the end of the story. So he has no idea if he just bought Sephardic mezuzah, Ksav Beis Yosef, Ksav Arizal, if they're kosher, if they're pasul. The woman who sold them to him has no idea whether any of those things are. So it's important to know where you're getting your mezuzahs and your tefillin and things like that. And then it's also a good idea if you know what area of what kind of profession you're going to go into to study the halachos relating to that profession, to talk to people who are in that profession and see what comes up and what needs to be studied in advance in order to be able to learn, whether it's Hilchos Ribbis, which is very, very challenging, whether it's medical halacha, which is also somewhat challenging, but to try to have a little bit of a focus on those areas. So I think, again, that is the sort of do now. So again, the bulk of your learning is your regular siddurim and yeshiva, your morning seder, be'iyu, and your night seder, be'kiyos. That's going to lay the groundwork for you to become a Talmud Chacham and a wonderful balabas in the future. Number two, get used to learning 3 hours siddurim and also 5 minutes siddurim. Number three, write down things that you hear in halacha every now and then. Number four, learn how to learn halacha at some point. Take a semester, take a year, where that's your area of focus. And the fifth, when you're learning some sort of halacha seder, which I assume everyone in our yeshiva probably does to some degree, focus on those areas that are most relevant in running a household. Okay, any questions before we move on to the next section? Yes, Yona.
What safer would Rebbe suggest we learn in yeshiva now regarding halacha?
Great question. So Rav Shachter is very fond of saying not to learn Mishnah Brura because it's too complicated, it's too difficult. I don't know. I got a lot out of learning Mishnah Brura. I enjoy learning Mishnah Brura very much. I think it's less important in terms of what's safer rather than that you have a safer. For example, if you're going to learn Hilchos Shabbos, so take an Orchos Shabbos or a Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos. Which one? Doesn't really matter. As long as you do it seriously, as long as you do it, you know, in a way that that you know, Keseder each and every day, and you try to actually know it. You know, one of my Rebbeim from Karen Biavna of Silver Shlita used to tell us that he wishes people would approach Torah learning a little more like a secular subject, which sounds like apikorsis. What do you mean? Torah learning is so much higher than a secular subject. And he said, no, what I mean is that when you study, you know, accounting 101 or whatever, you know, your basic course, you need to then review it and study it and take a test and pass the test. And the way most people learn Torah is, as long as I'm in the base of Medrash, I'm a good guy. You know, as long as I'm not battling, I'm a good guy. I don't actually have to know anything. But we should treat it like a real, you know, like a real subject. It should be, the goal should be to actually walk away knowing something. And so I think less important than exactly which sefer you use right now is that you make a commitment to try your best to review it and to master it. And to, you know, I think that's an important element.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Anything else before we move on? Yeah, Gilad.
Do you think rather than an actual sefer, doing something like Halakhapedia, or just literally straight facts, is probably preferable? You know, because you actually know Halakha Maaseh to the point.
So I think I love Halakhapedia as a reference and as a research tool. I don't think it's a better way. I don't think it's a great way to learn, because I think when you learn halacha just as straight facts without any context or understanding of what it's based on, it's very hard to remember. The way memory tends to work is that you build sort of like these memory constructs in your brain, and you're able to you know, to work through it again and say, oh wait, that led to that, and because of these yesodos and these ideas and these rules, so the halacha should be this way or that way. And I think it's very important to have the rules down and to see the logical constructs in order for memory to work. The other way that memory can work, though, and in this sense, maybe learning just the cold, you know, direct rules is helpful, is that as soon as you take something that you learn, if you're able to put it into action immediately, and you develop habits based on that. Meaning, for example, if you just learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Hanhagas Adam Baboker, When should you wash your hands in the morning? When should you say Kriya Shema? You know, those things. And then you immediately do them. You put them into practice, like, right away. And those are things that you do each and every day. So then you'll remember it because you'll be doing it every day. So from that perspective, those kinds of works are very helpful. Moreinu Hagon Rav Shechter Shlita often recommends that people take a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and just learn a couple of halachas in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch each and every day, try to immediately put into practice whatever you learn, and he always recommends whatever you don't know, whatever, many of the halachas you'll know already, because you have many years of yeshiva education. Whatever you don't know, just make a little mark in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch next to the halacha that you don't know. And then when you finish Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and you go around the second time, the second year, try to finish it once a year for a couple of years. The second year, just focus on the things that you made a mark next to see if you knew them. And if you know them by the second year around, so erase the mark till the point that you get to a basic knowledge of pretty much everything that it says, all the basic halachas that it says in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The advantage of learning halacha is that it's easier to remember because you immediately put it into practice. If you can, if it's a kind of area of halacha where you can immediately put into practice. So that makes it easier in a certain sense.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay, so let's move on to what to learn when you leave yeshiva. It's important to realize that life, God willing, should be very long. And the most important is that attitudinally you should always feel that you're growing, and you should always have a plan to continue to grow in your learning. Meaning you're not expected to know everything on day one when you leave yeshiva. You know, even the things that you have learned, you're likely going to forget a lot of things. I can't tell you how many times, like, Hasanim will text me 2 weeks after getting married or a week after getting married, I know I should probably know this because we just did it, but I don't remember. And of course you don't remember. You learned it through once and you're only a human being, and, you know, but we try to grow throughout our lives. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman says that as long as a person is a growing person, and that each year you're doing new things and a little bit more, and you're a little more careful in halacha, and you're a little more, have a little more kavan in your tefillah, and just a little bit more each and every year, you'll have a very good answer after 120 years. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings you up to the Beis Shalmaila, and they ask, you know, how come you only had kavana for half a Shmon Esrei and not the other half a Shmon Esrei? You'll be able to say, well, you know, 30 years ago, I had kavana for none of Shmon Esrei, and I was working on it one brach at a time. So I was getting there. You just took me too early. If you just would have given me a little more time, I would have gotten there. You know, you'll have a very good answer that I was working towards something. So as long as you're working towards something and you're growing, you're doing your job. But here's what I think is important to do as a working person. First of all, especially for those who are B'nai Torah while they're in yeshiva and are learning serious regular siddurim, what I often find is that as soon as people become balabatim, they forget how to have a chavrusa. They forget how to just learn the chavrusa in a Beis Medrash setting, and they feel almost lost when asked to do so. Don't lose that skill. It is such an important skill. It's the way Torah was meant to be learned. So do it like immediately upon leaving yeshiva. Make sure it could be an early morning seder, which is a good idea because there's a lot less going on in the morning than at night. So to train yourself to be a morning person is a very, very good idea. And have a seder with a chavrusa where you learn a regular sugya with a chavrusa every morning. And granted, it's likely not going to be 3 hours, but an hour with a chavrusa is great also. And if on Shabbos afternoon it could be longer, that's even better. Or if on the long winter Friday nights it could be longer, or on Sunday mornings, that's great. But don't lose that skill. Another thing that everyone should be learning when they leave yeshiva, but really while you're in yeshiva already, but you have to be on your, on guard to make sure you're doing it, is to be Maver Sedra. It says in Shulchan Aruch that a person has to be Maver Sedra. They have to do Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum every week. I remember a friend of mine, Rabbi Yechiel Weberman, made his first Siyum HaShas, and the Rashiva Sher Yashiv of Naftali Yeager was at the Siyum HaShas. He held the Siyum in Sher Yashiv, And Rav Yeager Shlita came over to him after the Siyum, and he said, you know, just remember that it's beautiful to finish Shas, but it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to finish Shas. It does say in Shulchan Aruch you have to do Shnayim Mikra. So make sure that you do Shnayim Mikra. Meaning you have to be mechazik the what you need to do. And by the way, it's much easier than you think. Because according to most poskim, you could be Yotzei one of the Mikras just by reading along with the Baal Koreh. So now you only have one Mikra left. Till Shani, you'll get on Monday and Thursday anyway. So now you only have six aliyos left of one-time Mikra and the full Rashi or Targum or whatever you choose to use for your Echa Targum. And a lot of that you could probably get done in between aliyos also. So I strongly, not strongly recommend, it's required persons to do Shani Mikra Echa Targum. As I mentioned before, Rav Shechter recommends trying to work through Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and just marking down the areas. That's a great 5-minute Seder, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You know, just do one paragraph or two paragraphs whenever you have a minute here or there. I think it's a good idea, again, if a person can find the time, to have another Seder that, let's say, is 20 minutes, a half hour, where in advance of Yom Tov, it's a prepare for Yom Tov Seder. Whether it be learning the halachos of that Yom Tov, learning some deeper ideas about that Yom Tov, whatever is going to work for you. The halachos are obviously most important, but also whatever libel chafetz, whatever you say, and when it's not coming up on the Yom Tov, to learn something else during that time, to use that time for something else that interests you. But to have that Seder that's sort of like flexible, where you could learn the different Yom Tovim, the ideas of the Yom Tov in advance of Yom Tov, and to learn something else when it's not in advance of Yom Tov, something else that you happen to be interested in learning. And finally, in terms of what to learn when you leave yeshiva, God willing, you should all have families. You should be blessed with beautiful Jewish families, and you should be able to send your children to yeshiva and to educate them. And when we send our kids to yeshiva, we're often punting their education, you know, paying a lot for it, but to other people. Meaning, and that's not what God told us to do. What God told us to do is to teach our children Torah. So obviously we're not all trained to teach our children Torah, and we don't have the time to do it properly, so yeshivas play a vital role, and we need to send our kids to yeshiva, but we shouldn't completely, Rav Shechter often points out, we shouldn't completely give up on our responsibility of teaching our children Torah. It's going to be, you'll find that if you learn with your kids a little bit each day or each night, it's an extremely enriching experience. Not something that they're doing in school, just something different that's much less pressure. A lot of times they'll be able to make a siyum for their bar mitzvah or their bas mitzvah based on what you learn with them. And even more than that, it will just give the relationship a Torah context. That a lot of times children don't see their parents as a Torah personality, and when part of what you do each and every day together is learn Torah just for a few minutes. So first of all, it's FaceTime with each child, which is also very good, just to have alone time dedicated to each child, which otherwise you wouldn't necessarily make the time to do. And also it gets the child will see the parent as someone who teaches Torah and who learns Torah with them, and that creates a certain sense of kavod and appreciation and a bond that, you know, like the Gemara says, the Gemara in Kiddushin we did not that long ago in Daf Yomi, that afilu Rav Talmido avu beno, if a father and a son learn Torah, and they, even if they're arguing and learning, and even if it gets very passionate and very heated, then Nasim Oavim says that they love each other even more after that joint experience. So it's a very, very worthwhile joint experience. I remember when I was in yeshiva, when I was in YU, Rav Aaron Kahn gave a Musar Shmuz once. I think the title of the Musar Shmuz, I don't remember the title, but it was, I remember what it was about. The Musar Shmuz was about a fellow by the name of Kurt Cobain. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Kurt Cobain. He died before you were born, but he didn't die, actually. He committed suicide, or maybe overdosed on drugs. He was a very famous rock star, and Nirvana was the name of his group, and like everyone was very all like the MTA. It was a schmooze to MTA guys when I was in 12th grade, and everyone was in mourning on the death of Kurt Cobain, and Rav Khan gave a schmooze about why it is that we all know that name, and why it is that we're all so connected to this culture of celebrity and everything else. And I remember something he said at the end of that schmooze was, you know, just struck a chord with me. He said that, you know what's going to happen? One day, you're going to have children. And one day, your child is going to ask you, Abba, can you learn the Mishnah with me? And you're going to have to look at him with tears in your eyes, and you're going to say, no, I can't learn the Mishnah, but I could tell you all about Kurt Cobain. And like that's going to be the saddest thing in the world. And then at the end, at the very end of the schmooze, he said, but no, that's not going to happen, because you're going to be involved in learning, and you're going to be interested in learning, and you're going to prepare yourself so that one day when your child comes and says, Abba, can you learn a Mishnah with me, you're going to be able to say, I could learn the first Mishnah, I could learn the last Mishnah, and I could learn every Mishnah in between with you. And that's I remember that just struck me so much that I decided as an 18-year-old then that, God willing, if Hashem blesses me with children, I'm going to learn the first Mishnah and the last Mishnah and every Mishnah in between with them. And Baruch Hashem, you know, with my four boys, at each of their bar mitzvahs, some was easier than others, I have to say, but at each of their bar mitzvahs, they were Messiahim, Shisha Sidri Mishnah. All just with me and them. We learned the first mission, the last mission, every mission in between. That's something that can't be stressed enough, the importance of learning with your children as well. And then a final... Oh, should we take questions on that before we move on? Any questions on that? So again, just to review section two, what to learn when you leave yeshiva. So first of all, to keep in mind that life is long and you just have to keep growing slowly. You can't do it all in a day. To continue to have a regular seder with the chavrusa, to be mavri sedra, kiddush shulchan aruch is a really good idea for the 5-minute increments that you have, and to have some other seder where in advance of Yom Tov you're able to prepare for the Yom Tovim, and at other times of the year to learn mashalibo chafetz, and also to make sure that you learn with your children. Then the next category is, I think, just in general, if a person wants to be a learning person, so much, you know, we're social animals. We very much react to our environment and to the people around us and to the culture around us. So it's important to put ourselves in the right context and to think about what the right context is. Obviously, most importantly, is choosing who to marry. Someone remarked to me recently that there are many girls that will say that they want a husband who's going to be learning all the time, but what they really mean is that he learns after I go to sleep and before I wake up in the morning. But as long as I'm around at home at night, then I really want his full attention and I don't want him doing anything else. To see if the woman that you're going to marry actually is interested in supporting your Talmud Torah, perhaps pushing further Talmud Torah, and is appreciative of that Talmud Torah. Rabbi Reisman said he often gets shidduch phone calls about guys who are very serious in yeshiva, and it's a father of a girl calling, and the father of the girl will say, is he the kind of guy that's going to learn a night seder every night? And Rabbi Reisman said, when he's in a certain kind of mood, he'll often tell the father, it probably depends who he's going to marry. Meaning, because that's the truth about all of us, it depends who we're going to marry. And so it's a very, very critical decision. Obviously, you should all have people that you talk to, parents, mentors, rebbeim, mashkichim, people you can talk to about that decision and about what goes into that decision and what would work best for you and what, are really important factors and what are less important factors. But that's a different schmooze for a different time. It's also important to choose a community where you belong to something, where people will know if you're missing. Rav Yada spoke earlier about smichat chaver, where a major element of that is that it's a chevra, that it's a group of people that all know each other. And if someone misses, someone will say, oh, we missed you at the smichas chaver shir last night or last week. Where have you been? It's been a while. Where there's this subtle healthy kind of peer pressure. It's also important to have a Rebbe. At every DRS graduation, at least since I started teaching there, which was at the very beginning, Rabbi Kamenetsky Shlita always makes a pitch to the guys to make sure that wherever you go in life, you have a Rebbe. It could be your shul rabbi, it could be a Rebbe from Yeshiva in Israel, it could be a Rebbe from YU, it could be a Rebbe from high school, someone that you remain connected with, that can guide you and that, you know, can help you with the decisions in terms of learning, also, and could be proud of you, if I might add. Rebbeim take great pride in the Talmidim, in their Torah accomplishments and in their other accomplishments, and it often gives you a great deal of chizuk when your Rebbe is proud of you. So it's very, very important to have a Rav. If I could just add one more thing about the way that we relate to our shuls and to our Bate Medrash, you know, it's funny to me that right after Rosh Hashanah, I stuck around shul for a little bit, just for a few minutes, you know, to look at the next day's daf, and just because I didn't want to be in a rush home. It had nothing to do with the fact that my in-laws were at my house. I just wasn't in a rush home. Thank you, Avi, for laughing. I just stuck around shul, and it was like almost like shocking to me that like 5 minutes after Rosh Hashanah was over, the entire shul was totally empty. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Everyone was in shul all day, and like they were busy davening all day. But like, we spend the whole Elul and Tishrei saying Acha Shalti Meis Hashem Osav Vakei Shifti Meis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, and yet the second davening is over, we're out. You know, maybe it's not a bad idea that we should have some sort of Kabbalah that if I'm not running somewhere, if I don't have somewhere that I need to be immediately, to take a few minutes. And this is something I learned from some of my balabatim, some of the guys in my shul that I noticed do this, that, you know, just they stay and they sit down and they learn for a few minutes after davening. Meaning, if they strike up a conversation on the way out, nothing's going to stop them from having a 15-minute conversation in the parking lot with their friend, right? So, you know, how important is that conversation? Maybe just, like, have a little Seder Limud for just a few minutes after davening. You know, most of the time your wife doesn't know if davening is 5 minutes longer or 5 minutes shorter anyway, right? So no one's expecting you in those few minutes. To make the Beis Hashem a place where you're comfortable. I found the Musser that I took a bit of Musser from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. So he was talking to his Talmidim in Yeshiva Dar Vadas, but I took it as Musser for myself. He said, you know, during the winter time, when do you get to Mincha on Shabbos afternoon? Well, you get there, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock to Shul on Shabbos afternoon. Well, guess what? During the summertime, Shachar starts the same time, Musaf ends the same time, your meal starts and ends the same time, your nap starts and ends the same time. Why can't you get back to Shul at 4 o'clock on Shabbos afternoon during the summertime also? I mean, you just need to yutz around the house for 3 hours before you come back to Shul. Like, why? Why? I mean, come and learn. You have the opportunity to sit and learn. Elamai, we don't love sitting and learning so much, but if we really are serious when we say, Acha shalti veis Hashem, osav akei shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai, that we want to make the Beis Hashem our home. Meaning, there's no amount of learning that you can do. I'm sorry, there's no amount of planning that you can do that's going to be a shortcut to actually putting in a lot of time and to using your time wisely. It's the greatest asset you have is your time. It's the greatest commodity, and it's not something that you'll ever be able to make up for with something else. So all of the eitzah that we're giving, ultimately, it's going to require a lot of time. Any questions on that? So again, just to chazer over, we said putting yourself in the right context means who to marry, choosing a community of people or a chevra of people that could be supportive of you, having a Rebbe or a Rav, and making the shul your home, making the shul a place that you're comfortable with and that you want to be. Any questions on that? Yeah, go ahead.
So I have a question specifically, someone who went to grad school that obviously they're going to have way less time to learn, you know, they're not going to be at 9 to 5 right out of college.
Right.
What do you recommend if they have 2 hours a week, 2 hours and a half hours a week, they can't, you know, is there anything specific you recommend?
Yeah, first of all, that there should be something, meaning that sometimes a person feels that I'm not in yeshiva anymore, and I'm not able to learn the way I thought I would be able to, or the way I'm used to being able to. So therefore, I'm not a learner anymore. You should always be a learner. So you should always be learning. So 2 hours a week is 2 hours more than not having 2 hours a week, and that's worth it. It should be focused. It should be something that is goal oriented. So whether it's going to be smichas chaver, which is about 2 hours a week between the shir and chazara, or whether it's going to be a few mishnayos a day with chazara, or whether it's whatever it is, it should be something that or whether it's going to be that, you know, you'll carve out a half hour a day, so you'll spend 10 minutes on Migmavar Sedra, 10 minutes on Mishnayos, and 10 minutes on Halacha, something like that. But it should be structured, it should be goal-oriented, and you should stick to it. The kind of thing that you should know when you're failing. Meaning, if you just say, I'll learn whenever I have time, so if you have a late night and you didn't have time that day, you'll end up going to sleep without learning. But if you say that I'm going to learn 2 Mishnayos a day, so then even if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you haven't learned that, okay, I can't go to sleep yet, I just got to do it. I'll listen to, you know, all Mishnah in double speed, but, you know, so maybe it will only be 3 minutes, but at least I'll have done my 2 Mishnayos a day, meaning at least I'll have done that. I mean, you should, in general, with things that you're makabel upon yourself to do, people always make the point of being makabel small things. That's part of it, but I think an even more important thing is to be makabel something that you'll know when you're not doing it. A lot of times people say, oh, my kavala is I'm going to have more kavana. What's more? What's less? What's kavana? I don't know. You don't know if you're doing it or you're not doing it even. So I think when you're whatever you choose to learn, it should be something that you have a very clear goal where you know exactly what you're expected to do. Preferably to even make a calendar for your learning so that you'll know if you've fallen behind and that you have to catch up, so you could spend the Shabbos afternoon catching up or something like that.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Maybe we'll I'm just going to skip one section over here, and maybe we'll just go straight to which svarim are important, I think, for a person to have around, to have available in their house. So first of all, I think it's important to be a svarim person. It says a lot about a household when you walk into the house and you see that there is svarim there, and it's a healthy thing once a month, once every couple of months, to walk through a svarim store and see what came out, what strikes you as interesting, and just to buy a new sefer. It's also a good idea not to put any sefer on the shelf until you've learned at least one piece from it. Now, your svarim shouldn't just be decorations. It should be something that at least you'll have some idea of what the style of the sefer is, or some Dvar Torah from the sefer, who wrote the sefer, something interesting from each sefer. So you pick up each sefer just for a few minutes to learn something before you put any sefer on the shelf. Obviously, it doesn't matter how many svarim you have if you're not going to use them, and that will require, like we said before, Mesiras Nefesh and a supportive wife. But just things to have. So, as far as halacha is concerned, which is really what our topic was supposed to be, every Jewish home has to have a Mishnah Berurah. Again, despite the fact that Rav Schachter points out how complicated Mishnah Berurah is, it's become an absolute staple, I think, in every Jewish home. I think it's very, very helpful to have either Rabbi Ribiat's 39 Melachos of Shabbos or the full set of Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn's art school series on Shabbos. Because there are just things that come up on Shabbos. They have indexes in the back, indices in the back, where you can look things up, where if something happens, you can. It's pretty easy to find, the presentation in Halacha in English on that. To the extent that a person is married, you should have Rabbi Forrest Silchus Nida Sefer. Not that you'll always know how to paskin the most complicated shilas from there, because he'll give way too many marmakomos for you to have absolute clarity on how to paskin, but at least you'll have a basic idea of all the halachos. And there's nothing that will happen in your life that Rabbi Forrest didn't cover in his two-volume Hilchos Nida Sefer. I also think it's very important that you should have something related to your profession. Meaning, if you're a doctor, Nishmas Avraham. If you're a lawyer, there are books that relate to law and halacha. If you're an investment banker, so have Rabbi Reisman's Ribbis Sefer, something that relates to your profession that you feel, or just Stam business ethics guy, Rabbi Levine's Farim on business ethics. Everything I'm mentioning right now is in English, you know, something that you can actually read and that won't involve too much breaking your head and not understanding the jargon and things like that, where you'll be able to relate to. And then, of course, there's something that every Jewish house has to have. Every Jewish home should have a Tanakh. Every Jewish home should have a Shas. Every Jewish home should have a Shulchan Aruch. Every Jewish home should have an Igros Moshe, probably, right? There are certain things that you just, you know, you don't really have a complete Jewish home if you don't have those Sfarim, even if you don't use them as often as you would like, as you would like to use them. I would also recommend, if you have Rebbeim who you feel close with, or relatives who've written books, who've written Sfarim, get those Sfarim, because very often you'll find that they talk to you, because it's nostalgic. Meaning, when I open up an Eretz HaTzvi, which is Rav Shechter's first Sefer, like, it makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. Like, I love it, you know? It's just like, that's like, I feel like I'm back home. You know, during COVID, that's how I found my comfort, you know, in an Eretz HaTzvi, when things were difficult and people were dying every single day. Like, I just opened up an Eretz HaTzvi, it would make me feel good. So I think it's a good idea that, and also it's a statement of like, this is who I associate with, this is who I have a connection with. So I think those are important for them to have. And again, look around. Always look around. See if there's a sefer that talks to you, particularly in halacha, particularly in English, where you could use it as a reference. And Be'ezras Hashem, again, the most important thing is just the fact that you're having this class. Whether I did a good job or not in presenting to you today, the very fact that that Mr. Bain wanted a presentation on this topic and that you are interested in a presentation on this topic, that ultimately is the greatest indicator of, you know, that ultimately is going to be the greatest indicator of your success. So I think it's, you know, I'm reminded this past summer in Camp Cayley, we brought the boys to Camp Aguda to meet with Rabbi Reisman, and one of the guys asked him for advice on how to think in learning when you're not actively learning, like how to keep your mind occupied with learning. And Rabbi Reisman said, before I give any advice on that, I want you to always remember that you were once at an age where you asked such a question. Meaning, when life gets busy and you have kids and you have a job and you have things going on, remember that there was once a time in your life where what you were thinking about was how to think in learning, how to occupy my mind in learning. So I want you all to paraphrase that, to remember that there was a time where you were thinking about how I can succeed as a balabas who's committed to halacha, who knows halacha, who's interested in running a Jewish household in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intends it. And that aspiration should never leave you, regardless of how many challenges there are along the way, to be able to accomplish that that very, very lofty and great aspiration. So I thank you very much for your time, and I wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova.
Thank you so much, Rav Leibowitz. It was really incredibly helpful, and I'm sure all of the participants got a lot out of the hour that you spent with us. Thank you.
Okay, congrats to the team.